Last time on Year One, we talked about the time and energy it takes for teachers to understand the whole student, both inside and outside of the classroom.
Teaching is more than teaching. Like, teaching is knowing all of these things about your kids, and it's placing it into action, and it's treating those students with, like, the care and respect that that situation deserves.
On this episode, we check in with Jenna, now three quarters through her first year, to see how her initial expectations compare to the current reality of living and budgeting on a teacher's salary. Many teachers are told that teaching can be a family-friendly career. You have the same breaks as your kids, summers off. But living on a teacher's salary as a single adult is difficult and only increases when spouses and children are thrown into the mix. This is Year One from Carnegie Learning, a podcast that chronicles all the ups and downs of one teacher's first year in the classroom. I'm your host, Kanika Chadha Gupta. Since the beginning, Jenna has been aware of the financial challenges that come with the teacher's salary. Here's Jenna from episode one, before her first day.
Everyone knows that teachers don't get paid too much. There's not too much of a salary increase every year, so you know what you're getting into financially. And I think that's just something that you come to terms with. I think a lot of people put pressure on future educators to not look at the financial situation and to just be like, oh, it's, you gotta do it for the kids. What's your why? Like, you gotta, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the impact that you're making on these kids. And like, yes, that's true. That's totally true. But also it's a job.
But expectations and reality are often two very different things. After months of living on a teacher's paycheck, Jenna is now experiencing firsthand the financial challenges that come with this career choice.
I think the lifestyle of a teacher is complicated. Like, almost all of your paycheck will be going to all of these different things, and that's scary.
In the past decade, teacher salaries have only gone up about 3.6%, while the cost of living has shot up around 20%. This means teachers technically make less than they did 10 years ago.
The amount and how it was going to impact my life did not hit me until my first paycheck when I was living on my own. Cause I started off this year living with my parents for probably the first 3 weeks. And then I moved out into an apartment for the first time. And it didn't hit me until I had to pay that first month of rent. And as I've gotten into the winter months, you know, utilities get more expensive as you're using more heat and using more things like that. So It keeps inching up and up and up and up. So I had that big aha moment the first time I really had to pay for everything by myself. When I bought my car, that was another financial thing. That had been one of those aha moments of okay, now the extra $300 I had to buffer are going to my car payments. And I'm really living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck.
This type of financial stress is a leading cause of why teachers are struggling. According to the National Education Association, 30% of teachers leave the profession because of low pay and overall financial insecurity. While at times money management can get overwhelming, Jenna and her boyfriend Liam, who's also a teacher, are able to work together to make ends meet and still have fun.
I mean, I try and be pretty conscious about spending. I think we recently had a conversation of okay, we can only eat out once a week. Time we hung out, we were like, ooh, should we go get some food? But no, we can't afford to do that. Nor do I think anyone should afford to do that. Yeah. That was just a funny little aside we've had. But also planning out trips and stuff. We went to Boston, and that was something that in January we were okay, let's start setting aside money. So just being more cognizant about where our money is going, which I think is good for any job.
That's just a transition to adulthood thing. Yeah. But especially when you're at a job like being a teacher, obviously the pay is not going to be a sales job entry level or something like that. So everyone goes through that of learning how to finance and learning how to budget as you get into your adult years.
I think you have to realize this is how much I make, and then you got to assess, what do I prioritize? What do I want to spend my money on? What do I have to spend my money on? I need to spend my money on rent and groceries and gas. I want to be able to get a comic book every now and then, so I need to budget accordingly for that. Which I think is something every adult goes through, but I'm sure there's more flexibility if you're a entry-level software engineer making $140,000 a year versus a teacher making like $50,000.
Like, I will look at my paychecks every week and be like, well, after paying my rent, I have about $200 left over, and that's got to go to my gas and my food. That's that on that. Like, it's just, it's very tight and it can be very stressful. Like, I'll have probably a breakdown about it like once a month when I'm actually paying my credit card bill or paying my rent, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no money. And then when the next check comes in, I'm like, no, 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 I made it. I'm good. I made it. We can do it. But like, that's what the people call living paycheck to paycheck. Like, I'm literally like, all of my paycheck is going to all these things that I need to be able to pay every single month. And I don't think it's very fair to teachers. I don't think it's a very stable way to live your adult life. Like, we spent 4 years of our lives getting a degree to be a professional. We took exams. We are professionals. We should be treated like such, and we should be paid like such.
On top of her regular living expenses, Jenna is discovering that she still needs to budget for classroom supplies, a big expense she thought would just be at the start of the year when setting up her classroom. But now she's realizing it's a consistent line item in her budget.
We're like, we are literally out of pencils in my classroom. Like, no pencils left. All of the pencils they brought in the beginning of the year, poof, gone. So I decided, I don't know, I heard this from someone, saw it somewhere, where like, it's a pencil challenge. It's not uncommon. A lot of teachers do it. Where like, you write their number or their name on a specific pencil, and if they still have that pencil by the end of the week, then they get like a piece of candy or a prize or like a check mark or whatever your incentive is. So I did that for like 3 weeks leading up to Christmas break, because we literally had no pencils. And me being my stubborn self, I was like, I'm not going to go spend my own money on pencils for the classroom. So they're going to deal with what they can do. So that worked. But then when we came back from break, I had a few more pencils for us to use. So then I stopped doing that. And now we're about a month-ish back in, and we're back to having no pencils. And it's mostly because my kids break them, and they also break the sharpener. I have had to, with my own money, buy, this is my third pencil sharpener of the year. Because the first one was broke within the first 3 days of school. I didn't buy another one just because we had so many other pencils to use because it was the beginning of the year. So I just kept replacing them instead of resharpening them, and then they get thrown away, they get broken. I bought another pencil sharpener. 2 days. 2 days it lasted in my room before someone put their pencil in the wrong way and the metal part got stuck in like the blade. 2 days. And then my kids get mad at me being like, we don't have a power, we can't sharpen our pencils. We can't, how are we supposed to write if there's no pencils? I'm like, guys, it's your problem. You are the problem. If you treat your materials with respect, this will not be a problem. So now I have my third pencil sharpener, and it is no longer a student's job to be the pencil sharpener because we cannot handle it. So now I have to spend like 5 minutes every morning sharpening the pencils before the kids get here, which is annoying. But if that's what needs to happen, that's what needs to happen. I don't know. As a first year teacher, it's discouraging, not only mentally, but when you add on the financial aspect to it, it's like, man, you're just getting hit at all the angles. So it's kind of a surviving game. And that sounds super sad and super intense, but like, you're just figuring everything out at the same time, financially and mentally. And, you know, you're figuring out how to be adult, and you're figuring out how to be a teacher, and you're figuring out how to manage your finances, and you're figuring all of these things out at the same time. And it can be overwhelming, but like, I take every day of teaching day by day by day by day, I take my finances paycheck by paycheck by paycheck by paycheck. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tight, but it's doable. You just have to be really disciplined. You have to be very, very disciplined, is what I'm finding.
This is Year One, an exploration of one teacher's first year in the classroom, brought to you by Carnegie Learning. Join us for the rest of the series as we follow Jenna through every moment, and be sure to follow Miss.McNulty on Instagram and TikTok to keep up with her. For additional exclusive content, free teaching resources, and more, visit yearonepodcast.com. Next time on Year One, Jenna has her first evaluation with her principal.
I'm so embarrassed, but I started to cry. in front of my principal. I literally had like, maybe, like not a lot, but I had like 4 tears streaming down my face. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. So it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I thought I was being braver than I was. Like I thought I was putting on a brave face, but obviously you could see through it.